to join in with us as we welcome the gospel with Holly, Holly, Holly. Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm that has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to them, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. And if you're like me, you're like, man, we're going to have this really upbeat gospel acclamation, and then whew, here comes the good news. This comes in this long line of texts in the center of Luke that have a whole lot to do with the proper use of finances and possessions and wealth and abundance. I think I've got a little battery, so sorry I keep cutting in and out here. So Jesus today, once again, teaches about the proper use of financial abundance and that it's giving it away, especially to those who cannot repay you in this world. You could sum up this series of teachings maybe as this: when you have an abundance, raise your standard of giving before you raise your standard of living. That seems to be part of the message of Christ in this section of the gospel according to Luke. And here we have this. There it goes. here we have this parable.
Here's the hand mic.
Okay. We have this parable, right? This story, this earthly story with heavenly meaning, and we hear about a rich man and someone named Lazarus, not the same Lazarus, brother of Mary and Martha, but a man named Lazarus who sits at his gate. We heard the texts in Amos about those who lounge in ivory towers like this rich man in this story, and how a lot of what that means is it can become easy to ignore the folks right around us. And so this rich man sits in his home and doesn't even really realize that Lazarus is there. And maybe occasionally feeds him some of the scraps that fall from the table. But Lazarus is like, man, what I wouldn't give for that. And as we get a rich man who doesn't seem to get it. Even in the afterlife, in the story we get, in the image we get of the afterlife, he still doesn't quite seem to get the teachings. To get Moses and the prophets. And so, you know, he's sitting there and he's like, hey, that Lazarus guy makes a great servant, right? And in life, I had a higher status than him. Send him on down here. I'm in all kinds of trouble. Send him to my aid. And Abraham seems to remind him, hey, how long did he sit at your gates? How long did you have what you needed? And he longed for somebody to come out to him. And he was just right at your front door. And here, there is this massive chasm between us. He used to just be a few steps away. The rich man then goes, okay, all right, it's hopeless for me. Send somebody to go tell. Send somebody back from the dead, because that'll be enough to convince the rest of my family to really start hearing. And Abraham goes, they have. The teachings. They have everything they need. And then in a bit of foreshadowing, right, because we know how this gospel story ends, it goes, even if somebody were to rise from the dead, hint, hint, Jesus in a few chapters, right, they're not going to get it then if they're not getting it here. They can come up with just as many excuses and things of why they are doing enough to help, or why it's okay that they're looking over or past this person at their gates. Today, we're talking about what it means that we are sent to share God's love. What does it mean to be sent out, to join in God's mission of loving this world to new life? We're sent near and far, and sometimes we forget that we're sent to the people right outside our doorway. We share God's love, which, as our young folks reminded us, is love that's freely given and not earned. It's love that is bigger than we could ever imagine, that goes on from everlasting to everlasting. It's love that's not earned. You don't have to prove you're worthy first. So the love we share with others is also not because they are worthy. For it's God's love that we share, that same love that you don't have to prove your worthiness for. We share it with them because they are God's beloved, and that is enough. A parable like this confronts us with some rather harsh soul-seeking, perhaps. I was just having a conversation with one of my brothers-in-law last night, and we were like, you know, it's hard to, it can be hard in our own neighborhoods to think about the poor people right at our gates when you've been to Haiti and Ethiopia and you've seen what that is. And so in some sense, as a nation of people and people who live in this nation, we would have to identify closer to the rich man than to Lazarus for the most part. So it confronts us with who is then at our gates? Who is Lazarus to us, to me? And am I so good at thinking about people who are far off that I forget people near? Or am I just living in my own bubble? And I tell you what, both of those are true for me, depending on the day and the time. So who is at our gates? Perhaps for you and for me, This question comes to us, and honestly, I must confess, we just did an activity in Sunday school, and I have some extra ones if you want to do it, but we're going to do a series on neighboring in November, and it's going to be right around the time that Tom Hanks, Mr. Rogers movie comes out, so we'll be in a good neighboring mood and learning how to be a good neighbor. But we did this activity, and I asked you to put yourself in the center. Like, you could either pick your home or where you work or go to school. And could you name the 8 people that live closest to you? Like, across the street. Guys, I did this at the end of May, beginning of June. I had one name. I did it now, and I think I have 2 right. I think. I'm pretty sure. Might have counted my house as wrong. It might be a little further than that away. I couldn't even tell you the names of most of the closest neighbors who live on my street. And I certainly couldn't tell you much about the children of God who live at the RV park across from the entrance to my neighborhood. They are all most certainly my neighbors and people to whom I am sent to share God's love. So I'm hoping that you with me in these next weeks will hear our call to love God and love neighbor. And we can start by getting to know our neighbors. And you can learn from some people who are experts. I'm going to brag on them, and they're going to be like, what? Alicia Lewis and Joel Nyleen both could fill out their whole block. They had all 8. And I was like, oh, geez. And they said, you know, we just talk to our neighbors when they're out there. Or we invite them to lunch. They said, you know, that we acknowledge there's some geography that plays into this, right? Some in certain areas it might be easier. You know, like living on a cul-de-sac, you see your neighbors when you come out instead of like if I come out next door to my neighbor, and my house is so far down the hill away from the street, like I wouldn't even know if they were outside sometimes. So there's a little bit that helps here and there, but we decided it takes intention. That this is hard work. And that it sometimes doesn't come natural to us. So for you and me, it might mean getting to know the neighbors right across the street. For our congregation, it's a question of who in our midst and among our neighbors have we been ignoring. If we put our congregation at the center of that, could we name the 8 closest neighbors? Who have we not invited in but left sitting alone, wondering? Perhaps it's the families that are served by our spirit blessings and the Cav Lounge who are unsure of if they will have a next meal while we know what we're going to have for lunch. And so we are engaged in this work already, but we still have a ways to go. For our nation, we have thousands at our gates who've shown up because they have nowhere else safe to be or because they hope to better their lives and provide for their family in the midst of droughts and danger. Folks from all ages, infants to elders, and some of whom aren't just left at the gate but placed in a holding pen. So we ask, who is Lazarus at our gates? And we have to wonder if maybe it's them. As I said, throughout November, we'll be digging deep into the Christian art of being a good neighbor. We'll learn from the example and teachings of Jesus. We'll learn from saints who have blessed our lives and shown us what it means. We'll learn from the lessons of our favorite television neighbor, Fred Rogers, who you know was an ordained Presbyterian pastor. And from one another. We'll challenge each other to get to know our neighbors, to love our neighbors, to increase the life and joy of our neighborhoods, to share God's love in our own pocket of this world that God so loves, he sends his only begotten Son to bring redemption. This is vital work, and it's not just vital for the ones we might get to know. It's not just vital for Lazarus, for the people at our gates, but for us too. We are to take seriously this parable is to say that this is a matter of life. That we have the teachings and we have a risen and living Christ come to us, showing us the way into more abundant life and joy. We have the gift of God's grace and the Holy Spirit compelling us again and again. Have we been transformed by the risen and living Christ? We most certainly have. We have. But we also aren't perfect. But we are loved perfectly by the source and ground of all goodness in life. Which is to say, we know we're not there yet, and we are on the way, and this is a difficult task, but it is vitally important. We have been centered in Christ. We have been filled with God's Holy Spirit to go about this work of sharing God's love. And it requires something of us. It requires a new mind that we see with the eyes of Christ, that we share love freely given because we have received love freely given. And so again and again, for this task, O church, we are gathered, centered, inspired, and sent to share the good news that the kingdom of God has come near. That life and love abundant are yours as a free gift, but they are not yours to hoard up. They are yours to share and pass along. Because the life-giving and saving work of Christ has given us treasure worth more than any billion-dollar stock option. The life-giving and saving work of Christ has given us a home more secure and of greater value than any gated house on the highest hill. And we are called and inspired and sent to be salt and light, to shine brightly into a world wrapped in shadow, and to present hope to a world convinced of despair. Because God has showered us with grace and love. And there is more than enough for us because it is bigger than everything else in the world and the universe put together. And this gift is yours. You are so loved. Invite someone else to hear that same good news. Be the one who shares it with them. Love your neighbor as you yourself are loved. For the Lord your God is with you. God of Jacob is your stronghold. Christ is risen and alive and in our midst, bringing us to new life again and again and again and again. Thanks be to God.